He said, what do you want for Christmas?
Just want peace.
I just want peace. But it never really comes as I want it, because Christmas comes with a little bit of everything else as well, doesn't it? John chapter 8, verse 31 to 36. To the Jews who had believed him, he said, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Not if you hold to the teachings of culture, if you hold to the things that are going on. No, if you hold to my teaching. Or he interprets it. No, listen, it's all there. If I'm on the end of New York, follow me, come with me, hold to my teaching, and then I can call you my disciples. And something that happens to us, and it happened to me as well, is that when we've been in church for so long, we become culturalized to the church. I haven't seen these chairs in a different position since I've been here. Every blooming week I know they're going to be, and I think, let the chairs just be set differently. But you know what will happen? People will come in and they'd be like, those at the exits, whinging and moaning. Oh, look at the chair, move the chair. And if they're not angled right, people come in hanging them as back as they should be. It cracks me up. And I was talking with Bonnie on a similar subject about chairs. And I said, I'm going to sit here. And I looked at me and I said, no, that's not my chair, my name's not on it. And he said, isn't it funny how we, in our house, we change the room around because it's been like it for too long. And he said, why don't we do that in church? And it's a good point, isn't it? You know, the older door, because there's nowhere to move anything. We've got to set in the... You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Now this verse, this is probably one of my favourite Bible verses. Because in knowing the truth about myself has brought freedom. I know that I can open my mouth at the wrong time, and I can look the person in the eye, and their face has dropped, and I said, I've done it. I think I've done it wrong. Oh, yeah. And often I have to go back and apologize because I said the wrong thing at the wrong time. And believe me, I dropped them. I really have dropped them. And my prayer this morning, before I came in, was, Lord, please help me say the right thing and not say the wrong thing from the pulpit. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves to anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Well, they were slaves to sin. They were spiritually tied up in sin and they didn't even realize it. But if you come to me and stick me on the end of your yoke, I will set you free. Jesus replied, very truly I tell you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. And we might not like to hear that. But have you sinned? That makes you a slave to sin. But let me read on. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. Now this is the great and wonderful thing that David prayed earlier, is that we have been set free. He paid the price. He's done it all. We have been released. We have found favor in Christ. It doesn't mean that we can go on and live the lives that we would normally live by our flesh, but we've been set free, released, and know freedom in Christ. Amazing. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. And don't be yoked up again to whatever you had on that yoke before. Whatever it was, don't tie it back on the end. Don't go back to it. Now people in prison say to me, how do I stay free? Literally, these words. How do I stay free when I'm outside in club? I said, don't move to the same area and don't have the same friends. Don't tie them on that yoke of yours. Keep Christ at the centre of your life. Keep looking at him. Because the moment you start looking at your friends, then you start looking at drugs, then you start looking at work, you'll be back in. Matthew 26:63, the high priest said to him, said to Jesus, I charge you under oath by the living God, tell us if you are the Messiah, the Son of God. But Jesus remained silent. Matthew 27. Meanwhile, Jesus stood, 27 verse 11. He stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews? You have said so." Jesus replied, "Didn't see fit to ignore Pilate. But to the Jews, you know, maybe there was no point in saying anything." And Jesus made no further comment. In Adam Hamilton's book, 24 Hours to Change the World, 40 Days of Reflection, he tells us more about Pilate. Theo of Alexandria described Pilate as cruel, corrupt, and violent. Yet Pilate saw through the Jewish ruling council's apparent interest in attempting to uphold Rome's authority. Hamilton says, "There they presented him to the governor, charging him with a capital offence of claiming to be king, a crime tantamount to treason and insurrection." Hamilton adds, "He knew they tolerated Rome's authority, accommodated to it, but their presentation of Jesus to him was not a concern for Rome. Pilate knew they were jealous of this man who had challenged not Rome's authority, but their own." Why did Jesus remain silent when questioned by Pilate? Why did he defend himself against the accusations? Why didn't he defend himself against the accusations? Hamilton says, "Some see his silence as another occasion when Jesus was intentionally fulfilling the words of the prophets, and in this case, Isaiah 53:7. He was oppressed, and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shearers is silent, so he did not open his mouth." Hamilton asks his readers to picture the expressions that might have crossed Jesus' face as he listened to the charges against him. Hamilton says, "I picture dignity, resolve, a certain righteous disdain for the high priest, and an awareness that the trial will end in his own death, regardless of what he says, and that God will use his death to change the world forever. Born in a stable, sought out by shepherds from the fields and wise men from the east, Jesus was born for this one moment. That's why he remained silent." It's freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourself be burdened again by a yoke of slavery, because we have found favour in Christ. But when we're outward people, regardless of what we're doing in our life, we have to reflect Christ. And 1 John 1 talks about that light that radiates from us to other people, living the lives that God wants us to live. Even in circumstances that others are in, we can be different, because we know the Lord Jesus Christ. You, my brothers and sisters, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the flesh. Rather, serve one another humbly in love. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. We have to walk in Christ. Now, it's interesting, just sitting there this morning, I had to take my eyes off of the worship team. Because if I'm looking at them, I start getting critical. "Oh, he could have played that, he could have done this, he should have had..." Goodness me. I don't know why, so I shut my eyes and I'm like, "Okay, right, I'm there." Because I have to keep my eyes and my heart on Christ and not on everything else that's going on around me. So I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other. This is a daily battle which has wound me up from day one of asking the Lord into my heart. "Yes, I will. No, I won't." "You will." Yeah, this is a big fight that goes on inside. "Look at her. She's got... Oh, don't do it. Don't do it. Oh, I want to..." Oh. Every day, I think, doesn't it get easier? Well, that's amazing. It does. It does. Only because I've learned to recognise when it takes place. So once I've learned to recognise when it politics, but infidelity. I'm not even living in our thought land. I'm not doing it. Because I've battled with it so much. Don't let the thoughts land. Joseph, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego all walked in faith by the Spirit. Their refusal to live as their surroundings insisted. Freedom from the curse of sin, freedom from circumstance, freedom from worldly power, freedom from yourself, freedom to live in this world, but none of it. To have that face that Hamilton painted up for us. That's the face that I want to have, regardless of circumstance that I am in. They were not brainwashed by their culture. And I'm going to quickly end this. I was reminded as well, do you remember the story of King David in 2 Samuel 24, where the threshing ground? And when he went there, a woman, was it, said, oh, you can have it, King David, you can take it, it's yours. He turned around and he said, I will not give it and offer anything to my God, cost me nothing. Do you know what we'll say today? Oh, I tell you what, the government's got a grant code at the moment. Let's apply for that grant, and let's apply for another £30,000 in my bank account. David would not offer, and I haven't got £30,000 in my bank account. Just, I haven't got 30 quid. But David would not offer anything that cost him nothing. Our culture, and we're culturalized by it, is to get it for nothing and offer it to God. That's only my view, man. It's only my point of view. You might not find out, I know there are Christians who give and give and give. But in general, how do we gain access to God's unmerited favor? Romans 5, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into his grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. We have got access into heaven through his grace, full stop. You might not want to live next door to me when you're there, but we're there anyway. But we've got to try and live the life. And we'll finish with this. You shall know the truth. The truth shall set you free. We need to be filled with Jesus Christ.